Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
As artificial intelligence becomes more and more present in our everyday lives, fears around how it is used and exploited continue to grow. But my next guest, Dr. Vivian Ming, a theoretical neuroscientist and entrepreneur who spoke at an Irish Management Institute masterclass in Dublin today on building smarter, more innovative teams, believes AI-driven solutions can have a positive social impact. Dr. Vivian Ming, good evening and thank you for joining us on Drive Time.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
And now a lot of these big companies like Google or Meta, they build artificial intelligence up as a solution to all of the world's woes, poverty, mental health, climate change, inequality. Do you differ in your message?
I think I do. You know, you look at what they're selling. Easy ways to write more emails. And my research says if you automate emails, you get more emails. In my own work, we've looked at projects like reuniting orphan refugees with their extended family members using facial recognition. Or, in my case, I built the first ever AI for diabetes to treat my own son. I think if we focus on the human side of this and solving real problems in the world rather than solutions to make our life easier, we can see some of the benefits that get promised that maybe aren't being realized.
As I mentioned, you're in Ireland to speak to an Irish Management Institute masterclass in Dublin. Will you tell us and our listeners here on Drive Time a bit more about your story and what first got you into working on AI?
You know, I have to say, strangely enough, as an undergraduate, so many decades ago, I was part of a project funded by the CIA to analyze people's faces to tell if they were lying. And as morally fraught as that is, I got hooked. I built a system that could tell the difference between a real and a fake smile. The only missing ingredient for me was I wanted to use this in more positive, directed ways. So my very next project was building a system, one of the first AIs that ever plugged into people's brains for hearing aids and cochlear implants to help deaf people hear again, by leveraging AI's ability to learn, just like our own brains learn. So those were my introductions.
Can we go back just a minute? I don't know what I'm not asking for classified information, but I don't know what you could tell us about working with the CIA or how you detected those real and fake smiles or the liars among us when you were with the CIA.
It turns out it's rather difficult to tell if someone is lying or not. There was even a TV show for a while called Lie to Me, based on some of the people involved in that research. And nowadays, if you own an iPhone, that was my undergraduate lab. If you've ever opened your phone using your face or used an animoji to animate a cartoon on the other side, we built that 25 years ago in San Diego because Apple bought my lab and they are the facial recognition team at Apple now. So,
wow.
The secrets behind the CIA project, I think, are less fascinating than just that experience of seeing a machine do a fundamentally human thing, telling that someone is happy.
Okay. But then people can see the benefits of the technology you're talking about, I suppose, but seeing through the truth in someone's face or through their smile. But they might worry about artificial intelligence replacing that, or deep fake images, as we hear them talking about, replacing the truth of their face now.
And I think those concerns are real. I've had many companies over the years, for example, ask me if I could build them systems that predict employees that might leave or might make trouble or unionize so that they never hire them in the first place. Or
what did you say to that?
Know, based on facial recognition. What do I say to that? I say, no, thank you. I want to build better people. And that's just not part of the equation for me.
Right. You don't see AI replacing trust. So.
Well, what I want to do is build AI that challenges us. Instead of doing the easy things we can already do for ourselves, I just wrote a book. I just finished my first book. And I didn't let an AI write a single sentence What I did instead is I said, AI, in this case, Gemini, you are my nemesis, my worst enemy. Read this chapter I wrote, find every flaw and tell me how I'm wrong. I use AI to make my work harder, not easier, but harder in the ways that make me better.
When you're addressing the business community in Ireland, well, there are fears for many that if businesses would invest in AI to automate their functions, it's inevitable job losses would follow. But you've been telling people that it can have a positive social impact in the workplace.
It can. I don't want to minimize people's concerns. We don't see a lot of job loss, but I definitely see something we call deprofessionalization. I can hire a lower skill worker for something that used to require higher levels of education and pair them with an AI. They can do the same job for less money. So that is going on. But on the flip side, if we look at what I do, innovation, discovery, scientific labor, there are astonishing breakthroughs in collaborations between scientists and AI to make discoveries we haven't been able to do before. That sort of thing excites me, but it's very different than what many of the big companies are selling, which is AI to make life easy.
You've spoken before about an AI revolution and getting us back on track for that AI revolution. This was in an interview in The Guardian. Are we going through that revolution now, or have we got back on track? Do we need some kind of controls, or how do you think we're managing this revolution?
I think what's been mixed, I'm going to be honest, when I hear Sam Altman, one of the co-founders and the CEO of OpenAI, get up in front of the U.S. Congress and say, I can imagine every child having their own AI tutor. I think, my gosh, this man who is the face of AI doesn't know that this has been researched for 40 years already. And if an AI tutor ever gives a child an answer, they never learn anything. So what I worry is, again, that we're going for these quick and easy answers, and we're not really looking at what's the best humans can do combined with AI, rather than AI just doing work on its own. So it's been mixed to date, and I'm still concerned. I believe in what I do. I've been doing it for 30 years. But making good products, AI or not, it's effortful work. And I think it needs a lot more serious attention than we're giving it.
Tell me about how you got on talking to Irish business interests or the Irish Management Institute. I wonder if it's any different to any other country. Do you encounter a bias over AI, misconceptions or enthusiasm?
You know, today at the IMI, it was amazing. I think particularly in Dublin, there is this sense of being on the frontier. So many global companies are here, making Dublin their headquarters for the EU. And so there's an openness to what it can actually bring and how it can make Ireland a more dynamic economic place. But there's also, I think, justifiably, given the history of Ireland, skepticism. You know, if U.S. and China control this technology, what does it mean for being a smaller country that just has to use what other people are selling you? So I'd love to see Ireland, the EU, really build their own technology, build their own possibilities for the future. I think the new work in China shows that this can be done by small local companies.
And how do we counter artificial intelligence then being used in a harmful way while also building on its potential?
You know, some of the things I think are most harmful seem innocent at first. If, let's say, GPT or Claude is giving everyone the exact same answers to how they launch a new business or how a student solves the problem, then we have to understand it's starting to rob us of our own voice. What makes us unique? If it's writing all of the script for your marketing teams, then everything starts sounding the same. That's a real immediate problem, even if it sounds subtle. And breaking through that really requires investing in people. Want to get the most out of AI in Ireland? Invest in the people here in Ireland. That's what really is transformative. The bigger, scarier things, like autonomous weapons, boy, we need to be taking that so much more seriously than we're already taking it. But now we're in a global issue. Obviously, there's only so much Ireland can do about what Russia or the United States or China is doing with these sorts of weapons. But it's a new arms race, and it's something to be genuinely thoughtful of.
And do you see other countries or the bigger powers taking that seriously and looking at how they control that risk?
They're taking it seriously, but I will tell you that most of the, let's call it military entrepreneurs in the United States are looking at it as China's doing it, so we have to do it. And I virtually guarantee you the same thing's going on in China. So it's worth getting started on a whole new arms race for a new class of weapons. And that should concern us. But we can still take control of our own future. I don't want any of us thinking this big evil AI is out to ruin our lives. Think about what you do in your daily life and how you can use this to make it better.
And do you think it's those fears or misconceptions perhaps that might be holding us back from regulating and building on artificial intelligence? And what did you tell people today in the room among Irish business interests?
Yeah, you know, in the time with everyone there at the Management Institute, we got to get into some very specific questions. In the case of today's talk, it was, how do we make people smarter? How do we make teams smarter? And what role can AI play in that? And these are things that are under our control. Those bigger issues maybe feel like we need the EU, we need the UN to play a role. This is something we can, as individuals, make a difference in and really think, I don't want an AI just telling me what to do. I want to be the conductor, conducting an orchestra, and the AI is just playing all of the instruments for me. That's what's exciting. That's where I have seen value in my own companies. So we got to explore that today and what it actually means for Irish companies looking to break into global markets.
It's very interesting to talk to you, and thanks very much for your time this evening. Dr. Vivian Ming, theoretical neuroscientist and entrepreneur, thanks for joining us on Drive Time. Back very shortly, we'll be finding out about the price of pubs.